Паша, двоящая. Amongst the many fascinating stories that take place, primarily is Mechilat Yosef. Yosef's dreams and his being sold. And the dreams at the end of the parsha. But in the middle of the parsha, it seems to be a diversion from everything else that's going on. We read the story of Yehuda and Samar. It's a very strange story, seems to be. Yehuda has three children, Er, Onan, and Shelah. And he chooses a wife for Er, and that wife is Tamar. Er is Rav Einei Hashem, and he dies. And Yehuda wants Onan to do some sort of pseudo-yibum. We'll see why in a moment it's a pseudo-yibum. It's before Matan Torah. But there is this yibum, and he wants Onan to marry Tamar. And Onan is very upset because he knows that the Zera won't be his. So, although he marries Tamar, he makes sure that he doesn't have any children through her, that she doesn't become pregnant. And because Baruch was angry at Onan, and therefore it's now Shayla's turn, and Yehuda doesn't want to give Tamar over to Shayla till he gets older, and Shayla meantime gets older and nothing's happening. So Tamar says she wants to be Mizdaveget, she wants to be connected to the family of Yehuda, and if she can't have Shayla, so in pre-Matan Torah Yibum rules, you marry some other close relative. Post-Matan Torah, you can't do this. And therefore, she decides she wants Yehuda. But she knows that Yehuda won't do it willingly, and Yehuda, in the meantime, became a widower, so Tamar dresses herself up as a kideisha, as if she's a prostitute, and Yehuda comes and is with her, because it's before Matan Torah, and this is permissible. And but Yehuda doesn't know it's Tamar, and then Tamar becomes pregnant, and they tell Yehuda Tamar is pregnant. Yehuda was all upset, because she's supposed to marry my son Shayla, and how's she hanging around with other people? And Tamar doesn't want to tell Yehuda who really the husband, the father of the children, the turns out children are, because she's pregnant with twins. But she sends a hint to Yehuda, and Yehuda admits that he's the father, and then everything's fine. And then Tamar is giving birth to twins, and the way that these twins are born is very interesting, because the Mialedes, the midwife, is very concerned which one's going to be the oldest. And one kid sticks out his hand, funny way to come out, but one kid sticks out his hand, so she says, great, she ties a ribbon around the kid's hand, and then he pulls his hand back, and the other one gives him an elbow, and he pushes out instead. So that's Peretz, Ma Peretz Talecha Peretz, and then comes Zera. So, it's a very strange story. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky asks a number of questions on the story. I'm not going to go through all of his questions, but I want to deal primarily with two things. One, what was so significant about which one of the two was going to be born first? It seems to be a very important issue, to the extent that the Mialedes doesn't want there to be any mix-up. Before the kid is actually out of the womb, she's already tying red ribbons around the kid's hand. And secondly, why were the kids born this way? What's the significance? So one sticks out his hand, Zerah sticks out his hand. They said, that's the Bechor. He pulls it back, and then Peretz comes out from nowhere. So Yaakov Kamenetsky explains the Kitzur in the following manner. What's the significance of a Bechor? What's the significance of being born first? So we know already from Parsha Toldos that Yaakov Avinu wanted to acquire the Bechor from Esau. And the Ramban says that the one who is the Bechor inherited the father's status. There were many children the Bechor is the one who inherits the father's status. He is going to be his heir to whatever position the father had. Now what happens if the Bechor dies? So then who is going to inherit the father's status? So in Kriyimatan Torah Yibun, who's going to inherit the father's status? Not the second oldest child, but the Bechor of the Bechor's widow. Meaning, if the Bechor was married and died, then the first child born to his widow inherits his grandfather's status. Because he, in his essence, the Bechor of the Bechor. That's why Onan was the second child, he didn't want Tamar to become pregnant. Because if Tamar becomes pregnant and gives birth, then who inherits Yehuda's position? That child. But if she never becomes pregnant, then who will inherit Yehuda's position? He will, because he's the second. So that's what's going on here, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very upset. Now, Tamar doesn't become pregnant with Onan because Onan doesn't allow it, and then Onan is killed. But Tamar does become pregnant with Yehuda. So now, the Bechor born to Tamar will be the one who's going to inherit Yehuda's position. Well, from the father's side. He's going to inherit the position. So which one is born first becomes very significant. But becomes even more significant. Because what is Yehuda's position? Yehuda is Malchus. Well, Yosu Shevet and Yehuda Mechokek Mibenyadu Avat Kiyavo Shila. Yehuda is destined to achieve Malchus. Now Yehuda here has two sons who are going to be a Bechor to his Bechor. Peretz, now we know the names, Peretz and Zerach. The one who will be born first will be the progenitor of Malchus. Not any Malchus, but Malchus Beis Dovin. And even more significantly, Melech HaMashiach. So it's crucial who is going to be born first. And that's why the Mialedes is very, very careful to try to make sure there's no mix-up. But it doesn't work out the way she thinks it is. Dayan comes out, and she thinks that that's going to be the Bechor. But then the hand comes back in, and the Bechor comes from somewhere else. Peretz comes out. So why were Zerach and Peretz born this way? Says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, fascinating insight. We're talking about the Bechor that's going to create Malchus. It's going to bring about Malchus Beis Dov and eventually Melech HaMashiach, the ultimate Geula. The story appears here in the middle of the sale of Yosef. Very strange place. Because as Chazal point out, Bnei Yisrael are getting ready for the first Golus in their history. And in the meantime, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is preparing the ultimate Geula. Before Bnei Yisrael go down to Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is already making preparations for the ultimate Geula of Malchus Beis Dovid and Melech HaMashiach. Zerach sticks out his hand. Zerach is shining. His son is Zareach. And the Mialedes and everybody who sees the hand thinks that that hand is the hand of the Bechor. Says of Yaakov, when the ultimate Geula is about to come about, something will come forth and shine, and people will think that's the source of the ultimate Geula. It's going to come from there. Look, we see the hand. We're just waiting for the rest of the body to come out. That's where Mashiach is coming from. And they're waiting and waiting. And they put a red ribbon around it. And everyone declares, that's the hand of Mashiach. And then the hand goes back in. And so to speak, out of nowhere, the real Bechor comes. Eretz. And that, says Rabbi Yaakov, is what's going to happen. People are going to assume that the Geula is going to come about from something that's shining, that's enticing, that's bright. And they'll think that that's where the Geula is all coming from. Where in reality, while we're all looking over there, all of a sudden it's going to disappear. And the ultimate Geula will come from some place that we didn't anticipate at all. And that's the significance of the story. Eretz comes out.